Kande Miri, and good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from The Voice of America on Wednesday, August 17th, 2016. We'd like to thank you for joining us live this evening from Washington. I'm Dimyake Mwakalielie. Here are our top stories this evening. Several people have been injured after police crushed a public protest in Harare staged by Tajamuka Sesijikele campaign.
Please understand us. We are one of you. We are doing this for our country together. We are doing this so that things can be better.
Pastor Evan Mawarire of hashtag This Flag campaign says he is in exile courtesy of President Robert Mugabe.
My very presence in the United States is courtesy of citizen number one in Zimbabwe, who himself said people like Mawarire have no place in Zimbabwe and that he must leave. But that is my home.
The Mashingo Council fights with ZANU-PF over the allocation of stands for ruling party youth. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Police today clashed with anti-government protesters in Harare's central business district, leaving several people injured. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from the capital.
A large number of Tajamuka Sesijikele campaign members gathered in downtown Harare, holding flowers and carrying placards while singing revolutionary songs. The demonstrators demanded President Robert Mugabe's immediate resignation for allegedly failing to run the affairs of Zimbabwe. One of the protest leaders, Promise Mukwananzi, said it was worrisome that the government was failing to pay its workers and address the cash crisis in local banks.
Please understand us. We are one of you. We are doing this for our country together. We are doing this so that things can be better for everyone.
Another prominent activist, Sten Zorwadza, told the demonstrators that Mr. Mugabe's government has misplaced priorities.
But what we want at this particular moment in time is to be able to do this uniformly, peacefully. But the point is we want to demilitarize the state because the police was demilitarized and the soldiers are militarized, the police are militarized, everyone is militarized. And we want to try and work it so that peace prevails. That's all.
When the protesters started marching to the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, where they intended to submit their petition over the worsening cash shortages, heavily armed anti-riot police pounced on them, resulting in the protesters running in different directions. Some of the angry demonstrators pelted police officers with stones, resulting in police firing tear gas and using water cannons to disperse them. Mukwananzi told Studio 7 by phone after the protest that more than 15 people were injured during the clashes. Those injured include Secretary of the MDCT Youth Assembly, Love Mochino Puta, and freelance journalist James Jemwa, who reportedly sustained a deep cut on his head. Meanwhile, political commentator Sidney Chisi, director of the Youth Initiative for Democracy in Zimbabwe, told Studio 7 that today's heavy-handedness of the police shows that President Mugabe's government is in panic mode.
I think what we begin to see is that the government has gone into a very serious panic mode and they have switched on a panic button. The Tajamuka crew did not amount to anything more than 100, but we see the force that the state has unleashed confirms to the fact that the issues that were highlighted by Chiwenga, the issues that were highlighted by the police force, but also to a greater extent the message that Robert Mugabe did on Heroes Day to say they were going to crush any protests confirms to the fact that today was no any other usual day.
Tajamuka says it will escalate the protests until Mr. Mugabe leaves office. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Pastor Evan Mawarire of Hashtag This Flag Campaign says he is in the U.S. courtesy of President Robert Mugabe, who told thousands of people recently that people like him are not fit to live in the country. The president was reacting to public protests that rocked the country last month following a call by Pastor Mawarire and Tajamuka Sezijekele campaign for Zimbabweans to fight against the corrupt social, economic and political problems in the country. Studio 7's Gibbs Dube has more.
Addressing Americans, Zimbabweans and other stakeholders at the Atlantic Council Center for African Affairs, Pastor Ivan Mawarire said he left Zimbabwe with a heavy heart.
My very presence in the United States is courtesy of citizen number one in Zimbabwe, who himself said people like Mawarire have no place in Zimbabwe and that he must leave. But that is my home, and nobody, absolutely nobody, including the President of the Republic of Zimbabwe, can ban me or any other citizen from home for standing up for what we believe.
He said the tragedy is that Zimbabweans are being victimized for demanding that the government should address their needs. Pastor Mawarire added that at times when Zimbabweans make some demands, they are said to be driven by the West. He said this is far-fetched.
There's nothing Western-funded about that.
Yeah.
So mark my words, as this broadcast is happening right now, I will not be surprised if it shows up. So did you see him sitting with his funders? Well, hello, funders, by the way. Get a chance to reach. It's good to meet the so-called funders.
Apart from that, the Minister of Religion noted that it is puzzling why the president has not yet fished out people in his government who allegedly looted $15 billion in potential diamond revenues.
Our government has failed to bring one person to account for a missing $15 billion. Do you know how much money that is? $15 billion. And you can arrest a guy that has a church of 48 people. You can arrest that guy and charge him, but you can't find a person amongst your own lieutenants that's responsible for that kind of money. So for us, we began to see that we have a case with the issues. Let's press the buttons of the issues.
He said all what Zimbabweans need are jobs to sustain their lives.
I loved seeing another campaign that was started in Zimbabwe by a group of students. And what they did is they took their graduation gowns and their graduation caps and they went onto the street and they were selling sweets and chocolates like vendors. And they were playing football in the middle of the city square, putting on their gowns to show that we are unemployed, to show that our government has caused the very gowns of knowledge to be a sign of wasted talent.
Pastor Mawarire further urged Zimbabweans to stage protests to ensure that they get their country back from the ruling ZANU-PF party.
It is my hope going forward that 6 June every single year from now on, without government's permission in Zimbabwe, will always be a day that the citizens will stay at home. Just to remind them who is in charge and who is in control.
He added that Zimbabweans have to fight for their own freedom, using the flag as a beacon for their struggle.
I am not a man of vast educational assumptions, but I do know when I'm hungry. But I do know when I can see that my future is being destroyed. And this one statement encapsulates how we started and how we carry on today. And it simply says this. It says, if we cannot cause the politician to change, then we must inspire the citizen to be bold. And that's our rallying cry, because all we have as citizens is each other. And we're discovering that our power is in our numbers. We're discovering that the tenacity that we had to ride through tough economic times must now be used to face our own government who won't listen to us. And all we have said is that they must be held accountable.
Pastor Mawarire noted that the struggle for freedom should continue even if he is out of the country.
The unity of Zimbabweans, we have achieved that. There is no question about that. Number two, the raising of voices by citizens. We've achieved that. So I really want to just say that we've already achieved our victory. If we were crushed today completely, if this thing died down today already, something has happened in Zimbabwe that people have seen that they can't unsee. We've seen it and we now know. And the government now knows that we now know that they now know that we now know. And I think for me, that's the special thing that has taken place.
Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, this is Kip Stube.
Pastor Mawarire is the featured guest today on Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Don't miss it. And join the conversation on Facebook. Now, for perspective on protests taking place in Zimbabwe, Studio 7's Ntungamile Nkomo reached political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda of Huddersfield University in London.
I think that it is firstly something that no one would have predicted a few months ago. No one would have thought that Zimbabweans would engage in a sustained struggle against a very brutal and unforgiving government and its forces. However, I think that the ZANU-PF government, although slightly annoyed by the circumstances, is certainly still within its comfort zone because it still has a very strong support from the armed forces, from the police and all other wings of power. Of coercive power, and I think that that is still its biggest strength. And it is not clear how long Zimbabweans are going to continue to sustain the heightened levels of brutality.
The government is being responsive, of course, to these demonstrations in terms of cracking down and beating up people. But how about in terms of policy? Are we seeing any movement?
Well, the government has dug in for a very long time. The government has been dug in its faith and belief that the Zimbabwean people aren't acting out of their own thinking and spirit and impetus. The government has said, no, look, this is coming from the outside. Zimbabwean people are either paid or encouraged by forces that are against the Zimbabwean state, and that those forces are currently stationed outside the country, and they see that as part of a broad conspiracy of treason.
As per ZANU-PF allegations, are you seeing any foreign instigation in terms of these protests?
It has never been clearer in the history of Zimbabwe that political action is currently homegrown. It is a bottom-up situation where people on the ground, and the example of Pastor Mawarire is a perfect one, where people, ordinary people, are saying, look, we've had enough, we can't survive, and we can't continue like this.
That was political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda of Huddersfield University speaking with Studio 7's Ntungamile Nkomo from London. The Mashringo City Council is resisting demands by ZANU-PF for land to allocate to its Youth League members for a national housing project, allegedly designed only for President Mugabe's party activists. Reporter Gandri Maramba has details from the provincial capital.
The council has teamed up with local residents in an attempt to thwart local government minister Xavier Kasukwere and his party's moves to allegedly claim land for housing projects. Opponents of the project say it is part of ZANU-PF's campaign strategy for the 2018 general elections, in which the party has already nominated President Robert Mugabe as its presidential candidate. Council representatives and local people say it is impossible to give ZANU-PF land as there are people who have been on the waiting list for many years. Ward 4 councillor Godfrey Kuraone told Studio 7 that Kasukwere and his party activists should not be given special treatment.
We as Mashingo City Council, we don't have land to give to any political party, be it ZANU-PF, be it any other political party. We don't have such land. We have a procedure when it comes to allocation of land. One is to go through the council procedure of registering. You have a lodger's card. Then they put you on the waiting list. And on that waiting list, that's where we derive our list of stand allocation.
Masingo Mayor Hubert Fidze told a regional newspaper that Kasukwere won't be given any land by the local authority. Mashingo resident Netsai Mato of Majanga High Density Suburb said the move by ZANU-PF is not fair, as she has been on the housing list for a long time.
It's so painful. The issue is just too much. I've been on the waiting list for more than 3 years now. And if you go to the city council, they're saying there are no stands in Mashingo. But going through all the newspapers, I'm so shocked to discover that the ZANU-PF and Kasukwere, they're saying they're going to give over 2,000 land to the ZANU-PF members, especially the youth. But then what about to us, those who have been waiting for almost 3 years, but we are not getting anything? This is not even fair. We are all equal, despite being MDC or whatever part, but we are all Zimbabweans. We're supposed to have the feeling of belonging.
Mashingo United Residents and Repairs Alliance Oromura Director Anozivam Kuti warned ZANU-PF against flexing its political muscle through grabbing council land for political purposes.
We are strongly against political parties using their political muscle to grab land which belongs to local authorities to give to their supporters. What we want is the city of Mashingo to allocate land to those who have been on the waiting list. We don't want any partisan distribution or allocation of residential stands in Mashingo.
Although efforts to get a comment from Kasukwere were fruitless, ZANU-PF youth leader Talent Majoni said his party will go ahead with the land grabbing thanks to the president Robert Mugabe, led ruling party for empowering young people through such programs. Majoni attacked the city council and residents for standing against the program.
I heard that the mayor have just waffled, saying the youth must go on the waiting list, even in Mura, that association of residents. It's just a leadership that is if not even taking the problems of residents to table. They are just doing things without consultation to the residents. So we cannot listen to that mere leadership. And what the mayor have said is just waffling. He must first consider that this program is not for ZANU-PF youths, it's for the youths in Zimbabwe.
Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, this is Gandhi Maramba.
You're listening to Studio 7 coming to you live from this Voice of America right here in Washington, D.C. Coming up in our diaspora slot, we're featuring Dr. Noah Manyika of Build Zimbabwe Living in the United States. But first, a look at regional and international news. South Sudan's new first vice president, Taban Deng Gai, is asserting his country is peaceful and quiet and moving ahead with reforms following clashes in the capital that killed some 300 people last month. Deng spoke to journalists in Nairobi today while there to meet with Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta. He accused reporters of falsely reporting that fighting continues in Juba and elsewhere. Here in the United States, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump again shook up the leadership of his campaign Wednesday, less than 3 months before Americans choose who will take over the White House in January. Trump hired Stephen Bannon, a senior executive at the conservative news website Breitbart, to be campaign chief executive officer and promoted pollster Kellyanne Conway to campaign manager. And finally, in Olympics, athletes and fans looking to blow off a little steam have been frequenting a Rio bar with a very strange name. Bin Laden's bar is run by 60-year-old Jose Felipe de Araujo, who resembles the founder and former leader of the terrorist group Al-Qaeda, mostly because he sports a huge bushy beard. Zimbabweans in the diaspora have been encouraging each other to build their country despite the socio-economic problems currently gripping the Southern African nation. Many organizations have taken the initiative, with one such group being Build Zimbabwe, a platform encouraging Zimbabweans at home and in the diaspora to give back to their country and communities. Build Zimbabwe convener and founder, Dr. Noah Manyika, who is based in Charlotte, North Carolina, says his organization is working on a number of projects, including a low-cost housing project in Bulawayo. In today's diaspora segment, Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri speaks with Dr. Manyika about his role in building Zimbabwe.
I happened to be one of those people who was fortunate enough at Independence to be selected to train as a journalist, and I was one of 65 at the Institute of Mass Communication. And then I went out of the country for further training. I went to Romania for my first degree, and then after that I came to the United States and went to Georgetown University School of Foreign Service. Over the years, I have tried to do my best to direct resources back to Zimbabwe and to help communities in need. I've also been doing work here in the United States in at-risk communities in Charlotte, North Carolina. Apart from you know, just organizing resources and sending them home. During the transitional, the government of national unity, I was invited to help the Organ for National Healing come up with some programs to help convene people. And those programs were actually very, very successful. And we did those programs in all the 10 provinces. And all the political parties would attend at a very high level.
You also work with Build Zimbabwe. What's the connection here, Dr. Manyika?
Well, Build Zimbabwe was the everything that I was doing over the years to help Zimbabwe, I did it as a Build Zimbabwe. Basically what we were trying to do is to also turn this into a mantra. So because at the end of the day, I think Zimbabwe is going to thrive if the citizen becomes a citizen builder and is not just waiting for even for the government to do everything for them. We must become citizen builders. And unfortunately, a lot of times the space to do that is constrained, sometimes because of government policy and so on. And that's one of the reasons why in our current work now we're focused on making sure that they can be changed so that Zimbabweans can be the citizen builders that they really yearn to be. So over the years, yeah, that's what we've been doing, organizing mission groups to go to Zimbabwe and meeting needs, rebuilding classrooms, providing shoes for kids who don't have shoes, and also conducting training programs for kids to be problem solvers, establishing problem solver clubs in different schools. Now, though, Build Zimbabwe is transitioning a little bit. Like I said, it was basically my organization, but I decided that, no, I want to invite Zimbabweans to build this platform which would accomplish an unprecedented mobilization of Zimbabweans, wherever they are, to really bring about change in 2018, but also to make sure that we have an unassailable program to rebuild Zimbabwe thereafter.
Do you have any projects running in Zimbabwe?
Yeah, well, we had projects running in Zimbabwe up to this point. And we still have other projects that we would like to implement. And one of the projects that I'm very excited about, which is still at the planning stages, is you know, trying to make sure that everyone who is a Zimbabwean has a roof over their head and that they can actually own that. I was in Ethiopia in March this year looking at their housing projects, which they are doing for people who used to be slum dwellers, and finding ways of partnership with the banks and with the government to make sure that these people could actually own a house. You know, it's a transforming thing if that happens. And there are other projects like that in South Africa. So we're looking to implement that project in Zimbabwe. One of our challenges, obviously, is that there are a lot of organizations outside who really want to help. There are people who are just standing there waiting for us to get ourselves in order in Zimbabwe. And they tell us all the time, hey, if you come to us with a foolproof plan, we're going to give you funding, we're going to give you help, logistics help to do what you want to do.
Build Zimbabwe convener Dr. Noah Manyika of Charlotte, North Carolina, speaking there with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. Dr. Manyika is actually on his way here to Washington, where he'll be participating on a panel discussion later this evening with Pastor Evan Mawarire. Teachers Union of Zimbabwe executive members who embarked on a 200-kilometer protest march from Mutawa Tower in Marambe Pfungwe to Harare on Monday claim that state security agents and suspected ZANU-PF members have forced them to leave Uzumba. RTUZ Secretary General Robson Chere says they were intimidated and harassed by six members of the Central Intelligence Organization Tuesday night while they had sought refuge at Nakiwa Business Center after their night camp at Mashamba Naka School, which was earlier disrupted by some suspected state security agents. Chere tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri that they will only regroup when they reach Murewa District, where they think it's a bit safer.
Something serious happened yesterday. We were disturbed as a member of the Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe by security agents. So it disturbed the journey that we had planned for today.
May you tell the listeners what transpired on Tuesday night?
On Tuesday night, after the march, we actually slept on the side road. We camped there. Then there are three unknown men who we believe are state security agents who came and actually questioned us. After some minutes, they disappeared, and we actually decided to relocate to a safer place where there are more people. That's when we proceeded to Nakiwa Growth Point. At Nakiwa Growth Point, those people followed us. They started questioning us. They took our phones. Then they gave us an ultimatum of 30 minutes to move out of the Uzumba area, or we'd rather risk our lives. That's what really transpired yesterday.
So what are you doing next? Are you abandoning your march?
Never, never. We will never do that. We will actually continue with our march. But what we just did today, that we had an emergency meeting discussing on the security concerns. So we had to use other alternative routes to move to Murewa. In Murewa, I think it's much more better than in Uzumba. Because in Uzumba, they started by even instilling fear to the villagers that were supporting us.
That was Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe Secretary General Robson Chere on the phone from Uzumba, Mashonaland East, with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemere. There was no immediate comment from the police.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chione Sojani, and I am your host for Time to Engage, where the voices of Zimbabwe's youth are heard. Today, I have a special guest, and her name is Annie Chatsamba Sabau. For those who remember her, she was on World TB Day. Today, she's joining me. She reached out to me and said, I want to tell you that I'm good and I am well. Hello, Annie.
Hello, Titi. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? It's so great to hear your voice and hear your vibrancy.
Yes, yes. That's why I had to be in touch with you people, because it was tough that time. Now I'm okay.
For those who don't remember, we're just going to play a 10-second clip so you can hear how she was during that time.
My legs, they are painful. I can't walk properly. I have to escort. At first, I used to walk. I could sleep on the bench waiting for the next count.
So this is you, Annie, and now we are hearing a different side of you. Please tell us what happened for you to recover so well.
Yes, I had to make sure I finished my TB treatment, although the tablets, as I was saying, they were tough.
So you are telling me that anyone with TB who's going through the stages and taking medication can be as well as you right now?
Yes, yes. If you concentrate, so you make sure for the rest of the 6 months, you'll be taking them at 8 o'clock in the morning. Like for the first 2 months, the tablets, they are very tough. Those tablets, they will be searching everywhere. I mean, all parts of the body where there's TB. You'll be vomiting. That's where I had cramps. I couldn't walk properly.
So now that you are up and about, what are your plans?
I'm self-employed. I do supply people with flowers for weddings, for funerals, and for the offices. Like now, I have so many orders, but I can't do them now because I don't have money. All the money which I had, you can imagine, in 7 months you're in bed. And I had nothing left. Now I want to start. And also the other thing, my plans, I need to be visiting the clinics also. They give me about 5 to 10 people every month. I'll be training them how to do the flowers. When they are through with the TB course, when they can start also doing something. You're using a lot of money when you're sick.
How can people get in touch with you?
They can contact me on 0772-605-855.
Thank you so much. And that was Annie Chatsamba Sabau, and I am Chione Sojani on Time to Engage. For more information, make sure you go onto our website, www.voazimbabwe.com.
Well, thank you very much there to Chione Sojani for the update on Annie. I'm so, so happy to hear that she's sounding so well. So remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk today at 8:30 p.m. where today's hosts Gibbs Dube and Jonga Kandemiri will be talking with Pastor Evan Mawarire of hashtag This Flag Movement. He is currently here in the United States. If you wish to join the call, just call us on join us by calling 001-202-619-2077. That number again, 001-202-619-2077. We apologize that WhatsApp is currently unavailable, but of course you can also join the conversation by participating on Facebook, where we'll be streaming live. Quick recap of our top stories. Several people have been injured after police crashed a public protest in Harare, and Pastor Evan Mawarire is currently on a U.S. visit. That's our show. Leaving you now with Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo for the Ndebele program. I'm Dimyake Mwakalielia here in Washington, wishing you a very, very good night.